The Ryan Tubridy Show on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Sky Broadband. With our broadband, your world is limitless. Live beyond.
Good morning, all. This is Ryan Tubridy with you. It is Friday morning. It is the 24th of January, which makes it the second last Friday in the month that never ends. Of course, next Friday being the 31st. It's actually quite mild and pleasant outside in Dublin, but the doomsayers are all over the papers today saying it's going to get cold and wet. Let's just march on, shall we? It's going to be a great day. Let's put it that way. 51551 is the text number. You can email ryan@rte.ie. It's 4 minutes past nine. We're all here now, and that's just good and delightful. I noticed a lot of the commentators saying this is a boring election and it's not going to be an interesting election. I think they're wrong. I think this is an intriguing election. It's engaging. I think that the outcome is utterly up in the air. And I think that the way the world is working politically, it's become much more fragile, fickle. And I don't think we have a clue where it's going to end up in terms of the numbers and the shake-up, the shakedown. So I'm following this election, I presume, like pretty much most people, with huge interest. Very excited about it. So I don't know what's wrong with the grumpy commentariat who are saying this is boring. Maybe they're hanging out with the wrong people. But I certainly from afar, from the couch, it's very interesting. And the commentaries are making it interesting, in fairness. The coverage is brilliant on TV and on the radio and in the papers and online. So, so far, so good. And in the great poster debate, I'm a pro-poster person. I just think it adds to the sense of political engagement. And I've always liked posters on the polls. We're not going to get into a poster thing, so just don't. No, but it's just don't text us about it because we're not going to go there this morning. I was just saying quietly to you that I'm kind of into it, but that's what that. Just to say that much. A lot of love for Armando Iannucci's film about David Copperfield from the movie critics in the papers today, which is amazing. It's getting 5 stars in the Indo, 5 stars in the Times, and so lots of love for the film. About his take on David Copperfield, which we spoke to him about yesterday. You know, we've been talking a lot about Auschwitz and the Holocaust and so forth. On Monday, it's going to be the 75th anniversary of the liberation of Auschwitz. And our radio show, we're going to feature an interview with a man. Let me tell you that the man who ran Auschwitz concentration camp, Rudolf Huss, was a monster. A human being who turned into a monster. And his son was a man who didn't deny his father and refused to accept that he was a war criminal, etc., etc. Skip on to another generation. His grandson, Rainer Huss, his grandson now is friends with many, many survivors of the Holocaust. Imagine. And we're going to talk to him on Monday morning on the radio, and I think that promises to be an intriguing conversation with somebody whose story and connection with history is so dark and so fascinating and so important that we're going to feature that, as I said to you, on Monday morning to commemorate that awfulness. And then the following Friday, this day week, we're going to talk to Susie Diamond and Tommy Reichenstahl, who also both survived concentration camps. They'll be on the Late Late Show on the Friday. So this thing is really important. I was telling my youngest one about this, and she's thankfully likes the history. And I was saying, imagine we're going to be talking today. She was fascinated. And I was saying to her, wouldn't it be great if we could get, you know, children around the country to watch the show with their parents next week, or to even teachers to watch it back. Those two people living in Ireland with that it just in terms of bringing history alive and reminding us the rights and wrongs. But that's all for next week. I'm getting ahead of myself. We have to keep going with what's happening today and in the papers. There's obviously it's election, and China virus that we spoke about yesterday. That's really what's happening all over the place. And there was good news there from Neil Michael in the Irish Examiner, telling us that Cork's Live at the Marquee looks set to continue, which I'm delighted about, despite the concert series having to move from its current site. following this year's gig. So promoter Peter Aiken is in talks with Cork County City Council regarding a new location for the series, which has become an institution. And this is because the owners of the current site at Cork Showgrounds are set to start development works after the series finishes this summer. That's fine, they have to do that. But Peter Aiken said yesterday, at the moment I'm talking with the council and we're hoping we are going to have it on a site that is hopefully not far away. I think that's great. It's great news for concert goers. You know, I don't go to a heap of gigs, to be honest, but when I do, I love it to be well run. And that marquee gig is perfect. It's just well run. Cork is a great city to have a few beers in then afterwards, and you know, everything is there and it's great. So well done to the people in Cork for keeping that show on the road. It's great news. Talking about a lot about air travel as well this week, because I'm reading this book about a plane that goes down and there's only one survivor and he's a 12-year-old boy, and how creepy his life becomes. I know it's a strange word to use, creepy, but he becomes very famous and almost notorious. But the book very cleverly goes between the flight and the people on it, and then him as a boy with living with his aunt, as an orphan, living with his aunt and uncle, trying to come to terms with the enormity of it. It's well, very, very well written, and we're going to have the author of it in next month. But so that's why I won't go on about it. But an unidentified traveller turned an airplane vent into... Okay, how do I explain this? You know the little vent above your head that you try to turn around and it might or might not work? And it might be too cold or too hot or too much or too little. Either way, that one. So this person, I don't know if it's a guy or a girl, got on the plane, sat down, took off their horrible wet runners and used the vent to dry them. And the smell then travelled up and down the plane. Is that not just repulsive? And so, of course, it was captured on somebody's phone. And the passengers holding this wet sneaker, as they say in America, up to the overhead vent to dry them out. And you can see it. It's on Instagram or wherever it is. But this keeps happening. In November, another passenger on another plane dangled the bare foot above their fellow passenger's headrest. And earlier this month, you saw another flyer using their feet to scroll through the in-flight entertainment on the screen in front of them. I mean, what happens to people? that they think it's okay. Yeah, with Valentine's Day coming down the line, and we'll be putting out a great plea on the Late Late Show tonight for people to join us on our hormone special, which falls this Friday, this year on a Friday, Valentine's Day. But Tinder have said that it's adding a panic button to help protect users from frightening situations by keeping tabs on their meeting times and locations that they go about their dates. This is a healthy development, I think. It's an opt-in feature. It'll be offered through a partnership with safety app Noonlight. It'll be free to use. When a date is scheduled, the user will be able to share details about the meetup with Noonlight, who will then track the user's location in real time, using their phone's GPS. And if a user triggers the panic button, they'll receive a text from Noonlight prompting them to enter a code. If they don't enter the code, they get a call confirming they need assistance. And if they confirm they need help or they don't pick up, they get the authorities into the user's location. That's pretty impressive and worth doing, I think. Elsewhere, Tinder is cracking down on catfishing with a photo verification feature to help users tell if the person they're talking to is who they claim to be. Yeah, well, that's often, it appears to be the case, the Consumer Protection Act should be in here. Human-assisted AI will be used to verify profile photos uploaded onto the dating app by asking people to take a number of real-time selfies. If a match is made, profiles will be given a blue tick checkmark verifying that the person's appearance is real. But the Trades Description Act on these things, people's profile pictures on whatever platform they're using, is at such a remove from reality. It's extraordinary. And we've heard the stories where you're expecting one thing and you get quite another. That's what it is. It's all part of it. Now, we're going to be giving away tickets to go and see Tom Jones at the Marquee. We'll give you details of that in a few minutes' time, but we have more to be talking about. Tonight, we're going to be doing an absolutely gorgeous piece with our friends from Crumlin Children's Hospital. And we have been hearing beautiful stories from people in Crumlin, and we're going to hear some tonight. Some sad, but largely just a tribute to what the people do there and the all human life and death features in that extraordinary hospital. I think you're going to really connect with this tonight because it's from the heart. And we've been receiving all these emails and texts in this week from people who've been touched by their Crumlin experience. And I do say Crumlin, but I also am referring to Temple Street. I'm referring to hospitals around the country that are just dealing in kindness. And even when I was there on Monday, we filmed a little piece there. And the parents spend a lot of time saying, when I say, "How are you doing?" they'll say, "Actually, I can't tell you how brilliant the staff here in terms of a hug or a cup of tea." You know, that's not medicine per se, but it is medicinal in terms of being restorative. And this, that kindness is what's going to be celebrated tonight. We'll bring that to you. I think I'll read this email from Aoife as I'm talking about this because it's just one of so many. We, as I say, we got a lot in on different things. Actually, I'll go to Evelyn's one because I met Evelyn, and it was Evelyn who encouraged me, without her even knowing, I suppose, to talk to you as listeners about how you can help people who are in trouble. And that could be with regards to somebody who's got a long-term illness or just going through a trauma of any sort, where you can help by cutting the grass or just putting some milk in the fridge or bringing the bin out on a Thursday or whatever it might be. Practical things, and not showboating and saying, "I'm too great to be doing this." Just do it. So Evelyn Neary was on to us, and Evelyn, hopefully she's listening today. It's lovely to talk to you again. I recall very well meeting you. She says, "Our son Cian, who was a gorgeous child, was in St. John's Ward in Crumlin in July 2019 when you came to visit. And we had a chat on the day about the difficulties of the family being separated while Cian was in hospital. And I stayed with him while my husband and other son, Shane, stayed at home in Longford most of the time. And we also discussed how people can help from a practical point of view. And I stressed," says Evelyn, "the importance of just doing it rather than asking, 'Can I help?' or 'What can I do?' And I know this was a topic that was covered on the radio show today, that is to say yesterday. And sadly, our son Cian lost his battle on the 23rd of September, about 2 months after meeting Ryan and following over three consecutive months on the ward. And let me just say, I was quite shaken to hear that this morning, because this is your world and not mine. I meet a lot of children and it's not about me at all, but he was a beautiful boy. But it's just part of the Crumlin story that children go in and so many of them come out fixed. And sadly, there's just... There are those who just can't make it. And Cian was one such boy. He lost his battle on the 23rd of September. His last months, says Evelyn, were made happier by the efforts of various charities, including Aveen's Pink Tie and the Make-A-Wish Foundation. And he had many great days and evenings out. And you hear about those, I'm just sidebar for a moment, you hear about those charities and you think, oh yeah, they're raising funds. Think about this. This beautiful family lost their son and yet they're still saying, thank you. I mean, to these gorgeous charities, Aveen's Pink Tie, Make-A-Wish. So when you're thinking about donating, when you're thinking about should I or could I or does it make a difference, here's your answer. Yes, it does. And yes, you do. You know, it's breathtaking. Anyway, Evelyn says it was Cian's dog Cooper that gave him the greatest joy. And with a lot of help and goodwill, we managed to get Cooper up from Longford and a kennel for him near the hospital. And this allowed Cian to visit him and vice versa on a daily basis, which he did almost daily, right up to the week before he passed away. And we're now in the process of setting up a charity called Cian's Kennels with the aim of bringing family pets closer to families based at hospitals. What a beautiful thing to do. What a beautiful thing to do. Think about that for a moment. These kids in the hospitals are thinking, what do they miss most? The cat, the dog, whatever animal it might be. Cian's Kennels. And our plan is to cover the cost of veterinary checks, transport to or from the hospital, kenneling costs, insurance, etc. We hope to officially launch the charity on the 18th of April 2020. And that's Cian's 16th birthday. And I'm just so happy to hear that. And if I can be of any help in that launch, you let me know and I'll be there at the drop of a hat. Okay, that's from Evelyn. And Evelyn, I'm thinking about you and your family. Not an easy time, but thank you for being so generous with telling your story, sharing your story. It makes all the difference, and it helps. I know this because we've been here long enough to know that it helps other families to know that they don't, they just don't feel as alone. And you're just one of a lot of emails, all heartfelt and thoughtful. And thanks to everyone who sent them in to us, ryan@rte.ie. And text is 51551. Let me just look at the text to see how you're all doing this morning. Tom says, I saw Armando's Avenue 5 last night. I didn't see it. It was a wonderful, quirky, entertaining and funny treat and well worth a look. That's set up in a, like a Star Trek in the, yeah, okay, I'll give it a go over the weekend and see. Breed says, Hans and Rudolph by Thomas Harding is a must read if you're interested in how a human being became the boss in a concentration camp. You simply must put, read it. It's unputdownable. And even the background to how the author wrote the story is fascinating. I think I have that. I think somebody gave that to me at some point. But anyway, thanks, Tom Breed. I'll have a look at that. If you thought the drying of sneakers was bad in a plane, watch a YouTube video of a Russian woman who dries her underwear under the plane's air vent. When it comes to airplane travel, there are certain behaviours that are generally not acceptable. And this is one of them, says Ali. There's many. There are many. And there's a book about the true story of a girl who was the sole survivor of a plane crash in Peru in the 70s and walked out of the jungle. Can't remember her name. It's called... When we just looked it up, it's called When I Fell from the Sky by Julianne Kopcke. It's a very unusual name. K-O-E-P-C-K-E. Yeah, it sounds like an internet password rather than a name, doesn't it? But that's it. Great. When I heard the Holocaust anniversaries, says a text. And let's have a look at this one. When I heard of the Holocaust anniversaries, I always remember the day in DIT Kevin Street when my lovely Russian teacher, Julia, came into class and told us we were having a class outside. And she brought us to the park behind the college. Sitting on the grass with the sun on our back, she told the stories of how her father survived and escaped from a camp. It was the 50th anniversary of the liberation of Auschwitz. And he used to shave every day with a coffee, as he felt it was odd they gave coffee so easily, but food was limited. Shaving, he told her, gave him dignity. He was not a criminal. They found out later there was arsenic in the coffee, though, slowly killing them all. And it was just the most amazing class I ever had. I'm so delighted Julia could share her story so eloquently. Yeah, these are nothing quite like a great teacher, and that can change things beautifully and enlighten you and bring you to a whole new world. All right, 51551 at 20 past nine this Friday morning. The text number 51551. We talked about Tom Jones yesterday. Today, another great, great artist, Mr. Jeff Lynne of ELO. You can't go wrong with a bit of Jeff Lynne or ELO in your life. And they're coming to town. He's coming to town, at least, with his From Out of Nowhere tour for Belfast and Dublin. He'll be in the SSE Arena on the 18th of October. And then on the 19th of October, he'll be at the 3 Arena. Tickets go on sale next Friday at 9 a.m. That's a gig I like. I haven't seen him live, but I hear he's tremendous. So that is Jeff Lynne's ELO in Dublin, 3 Arena, October 19th. And that also will be one hell of a gig. That's ELO, and as I say, Jeff Lynne's ELO, excuse me, announcing their 2020 From Out of Nowhere tour for Belfast and Dublin, 18th and 19th of October, 3 Arena, Dublin, on the 19th. Tickets on sale next Friday at 9 a.m. Wonderful. Just like Tom Jones, says the text, Jeff Lynne's voice just gets better with age. Good. Telephone Line is probably in my top 20 songs of all time. I just think it's a beautiful, plaintive little tune. And I would have played that today, but I just thought, it's Friday. You don't want melancholia on a Friday? No one needs that. 51551, the era of what happens on flights online intrigues me. You see, I worked on hundreds of flights as a text, as a cabin crew member, and to say I could write the book is an understatement. It's not new, Ryan. It's sadly part of the human condition. But humans are mad. We're all mad. Now, I would like to be involved in the charity regarding pets and kennels for sick children. Please, can you forward my number? Yet there's a huge response to Evan's email. People really love the idea of helping. So what we'll do is we will take the details of people, and you know, we'll keep in touch with Evelyn and see what the story is. Joanne says, I'm so touched by that story, just an idea, but would she think about asking families to foster the pets near the hospital to save on kennel costs? Pass on my number, I'd love to help. Wonderful. And when the details, as another, of Kian's kennels are up and running, let us know, because that sounds absolutely brilliant. Something people who aren't in that situation don't think about. But obviously, it lifts the mood of a patient that no pill can. And my condolences on the loss of your son. But great that you can make something so good and positive out of something so sad. I couldn't have put that better. It's perfect. Another says, we're off to Boyle today. We sell balloons in aid of Crumlin Hospital, and so far we've raised 20,000. Ask anyone in Boyle to come out and support us, Valerie and Amanda, also known in Crumlin as the Balloon Ladies, and say hello to Antoinette and Bernice and all the girls in the office. Okay, well, good people of Boyle, you know what to do. If you can, get out there and help the Valerie and Amanda and the Balloons, and get busy. Wings of Hope, meanwhile, is a great film about Julianne Koepka. And whoever sent that text, I'm indebted because they've put the phonetics in a bracket beside them to help me through my linguistic struggles. So thank you so much. Julianne Koepka. It's by Werner Herzog, and he was due to be on the same flight as her. Whew. But due to a mechanical delay, changed flight. That's another great sliding doors. Andrew, meanwhile, in Glasnevin says, by far the best audiobook I've ever listened to was the unabridged version of David Copperfield, read by Martin Jarvis. Remember, I recognise that name as an actor from the, well, the 80s largely. Amazing reader, uses a unique voice for every character. And there are lots of them. I never really got Dickens before listening to this. Wonderful. And Evelyn said, I was listening this morning when you were discussing Kean's Kennels. I think it's a wonderful initiative. And a possible extension of this idea could be foster families who house the sick child's pets and facilitate visits. This is something my family would love to do. I'm sure I could find others. Could you put me in touch with Kean's mum, Evelyn, or the appropriate person? Sure. I mean, obviously, all these things, there's goodwill and everything, but there's legal and there's health and safety and there's all this sort of, that needs to be taken into account. So while the goodwill is beautiful and thoughtful, I'm sure that there are plenty of administrative and bureaucratic things that need to be dealt with before they embrace your kindness. So let's see how that goes. But all goodwill, I'm not trying to put a dampener on it, it is just beautiful. And I love it. This keeps the sleigh in the sky and it's gorgeous. So thank you for all of that. Right, 51551 on the text, 28 minutes past nine, back them up. Half nine. I didn't tell you. I got these because it's not that interesting, but I'll share it with you anyway. You know these earbuds pods that I can never remember the name of? Well, I got a pair by accident. The story around why I got them is not important, but I AirPods. So I bought them and the gift didn't quite work out, so I ended up keeping the present I bought. So it was good. So they've got this noise cancellation thing. So even when I'm near the Dart, or wherever it is for the buses and stuff like that, once they go in, nothing. It's really creepy. It's kind of creepy in the sense that I kind of wonder, would I walk in front of something? If they're so good, I'm worried that I'm gonna walk in front of a car. They're that good. And then if you drive a kind of hybrid car, as I do, you kind of go, and that's virtue signal there, by the way. You're kind of driving along going, holy smoke, I can't hear my car. And then if you're collected by, say, do you know the My Taxi car or whatever, the expert, whatever they're called, if the taxi comes along, before you'd hear it outside the house or you'd hear it coming. Now it's just, if the taxi's here, how do you know? Because I can see it, but I can't hear it. Where is it? Oh, there it is. Nothing. Is the world getting more and more silent then? So when I was on the Dart the other evening, six heads all around me and all heads down the phone. That's not new. I'm not trying to, but we are definitely going into ourselves probably a bit more. I'm guilty of it. And we definitely can't hear. I can't believe that haven't been more accidents from the silence of cars. The silence of the cars, Clarice. Don't they, didn't they talk about putting a noise thing on them to prevent the deadly silence mobile coming at you? I'm not sure what the details of that are, but we'll find out soon. Good on her. That's Megan O'Neill. That's called Rootless. And she will be hearing, I have no doubt, plenty more from her. Now, I have an electric car, says text. It's a Hyundai and it has a fake noise to warn passengers. You can turn it on or off. It's called the VESS, the Vehicle Engine Sound System. Another on says, Fiona says, I want to thank the young couple who found my son's wallet in Lidl in Stillorgan, saw his driving license was in it, walked to our house to return it. She had a small baby strapped to her. Can't get over their kindness. All happened so fast that I would like to really acknowledge this act. I'm kind of happy to do that. Why do I find it amusing when people say, I have a small baby? I mean, I have a big baby. You know, are not all babies, like, I just find people say, I have a small baby. I only have a small baby. Where'd you get that one? I don't know why, but every time I see a small baby, I think, okay, Size doesn't matter. It's a baby of a baby. Ryan, would you say hello to the Queen, April, in Crumlin this morning? Of course I will. April, good morning. She is waiting in hopes of having her surgery. And she's there with her Mammy Kay and Daddy Eamon and all the love in the world from her aunties and uncles and grannies and granddads and all her friends and craft kids in Rattan School, County Cork. Crumlin has been her lifesaver to date, and hopefully today we'll see them do more amazing things, and I mean amazing work, to make her funny heart work a little better. Thank you. Happy to send that to April, and we're sending our love to you, of course. Is the world more silent? Have you walked, says Jared, down Grafton Street lately with the amplified buskers? Have you eaten in a restaurant? We all need noise cancellation. There you are. What are the name of those noise cancelling earbuds you have? I have a rock breaker outside my house for months to come. I would love to purchase. I don't know what they're called. All I know is that they're really expensive. So I'm not going to lie to you. I bought them kind of by accident, but I'm really enjoying them because I can, when I say cook in the kitchen, I can do stuff with the odd pot or pan and talk on them at the same time, or listen to something. I was sweeping up something outside the other day, and the next thing, when I say something, I mean leaves. And the next thing, I was able to listen to this podcast going, this is great. I was kind of excited by the technology rather than actually enjoying what I was listening to. I was kind of delighted with myself. Oh, God. Just finished watching Life is Beautiful. Yeah, I wasn't a big fan of that film. But my third year English students who are studying World War II in history class, says the text, an accidental cross-curricular teaching, I think it is, at its most effective. Our classroom was filled with tears and laughter and silence. It's an incredible film, an incredible way of telling stories that reach inside us and help us to understand truly the mystery of our humanity. Well, great. I'm glad it worked for you all. That's important. Dark times, says the text, are enlightened and survived by small kindnesses like cups of tea and hugs and arm squeezes and the love of family, including the family pet. Well said. They're called AirPod Pro, by the way. That's they're the things I got. And they're pretty impressive. Right, competition time coming up after this. All right, we will have Niall Horan on the Late Late Show tonight, incidentally, among others. We will have, I think, Aoife Scott's on tonight as well. Beautiful. And also, we will have our Crumlin special, but we also have other wonderful guests in between all of that, but I don't want to give everything away, so stay tuned. So see you after the news tonight at 9:35, otherwise back here on Monday between 9 and 10. Thanks, team, as always. Love it. And we'll see you next time. Yeah, stay tuned for Sean Rourke. Have a great weekend. Thanks for listening.
The Ryan Tuberty Show on RTE Radio 1.